Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 97. I am Jeff, joined, as always, by Chris.
Hey.
And we are here once again with another kind of random week, kind of newer releases, though. And, I'm going to start off with Chris. I want to hear what you thought of Bloodfather. I've not seen this movie, but it's a relatively new release, and I want to hear about it, so...
So Bloodfather is, I actually was not even on my radar until last week when you kind of mentioned it. A new Mel Gibson movie. He stars as like an ex-con, recovering alcoholic drug addict, that lives out in the deserts of California. And, his daughter gets wrapped up in some craziness, and she calls him. She's been estranged from him for years, actually been missing. She ran away from home a few years prior from her mother. He's been missing her, and she calls him and says, like, I need some money. So he goes and gets her, finds out she's kind of on drugs, and, they start to rekindle their relationship. But in the meantime, these people from like a Mexican cartel are chasing her, and they end up at his house and at his trailer, actually. And stuff starts to go bad. And it then kind of becomes this kind of, you know, escape. You keep running away, try and get as much support as you can. And hide from these people until, things are pushed to a limit and he needs to fight back and take them out. But it's decent. It's really, really decent. Mel Gibson is good in it, which isn't really surprising. He's always been a really good actor. But
And it sounds like a role fit for him as well.
Yeah. This is like a classic kind of Mel Gibson action movie type role. Like, if you look back to like his heyday when, you know, it was Ransom and the Lethal Weapon movies and stuff like that, like he was at the top of his game there, and that this is kind of that. Like, he's done a return to form with this, and it actually is very kind of it kind of touches on him as well. It's the story of redemption of, you know, somebody who did bad things in the past and, gets himself clean and is trying to do the best that he can. And who knows if that's actually Mel Gibson, the person, but it seems to be like he's trying to revive his career. And this definitely has some correlations between the movie and what's actually going on with him, specifically. There's some good dialogue in it, like, but it's, you know, pretty standard action thriller movie. So, and it's driven mostly by Mel Gibson. So,
I'm interested. I'm interested because I don't. We got good reviews, like, but it sounded like you were a little more tepid on it. Like, it was all right.
It was all right. Like, it's not like the action doesn't blow you over the top. There's a couple twists that are interesting, but they never really pays off. Like, there's a cool gunfight at the end and a couple cool action scenes, but for the most part it's pretty standard action fare. But if you like Mel Gibson in a role like this, you're probably going to come out liking it, and I did. I thought it's enjoyable to watch.
Final rating?
I'm going to go 3.
All right.
It's worth a watch for sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing it still. So I'll let you know as soon as Netflix gets around to sending it to me.
Sending it your way?
Yeah. They did also this week. They did send me The Conjuring 2, so we can finally talk about that.
All right.
The other night. Well, how do we want to set this up? What do you think about it?
It's okay.
Okay.
It's not as good as the first one, I don't think.
Interesting, interesting. I wasn't sure what you were going to think, because I heard a lot of people talk this one up pretty highly, and now we didn't discuss beforehand, but my reaction is kind of similar to yours. I guess there might be a few caveats, but go ahead.
It's okay. I mean, I like kind of that it ties into the Amityville stuff, which was a little interesting, because I had actually watched like the new Amityville movie right before I watched this, and this movie starts off with they're on like some sort of talk show or something, and I guess like the Amityville stuff has kind of largely been debunked. But these Ed Warren and Lorraine Warren, they were kind of like, no, this was real. This was real. Like, and I mean, whatever, I don't really know, but go ahead.
We'll probably discuss that more when I talk about my feelings on it, but yeah, they were part of the whole Amityville thing, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I think they've largely been discredited. Well, cause that's something, my reaction to the series has to do with that as well. But, I guess we'll get that in a minute.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I didn't really know anything about Ed and Lorraine Warren in the first one. And it was just a good, like, ghost possession story. This is kind of more of the same. It just happens in England. And, you know, tying it in with the, you know, a discredited case, I don't think did it any favors here. And I don't know. I really like Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga. Like, mm-hmm. I think they're really good. They play the roles really well. It's just kind of more of the same. Like, and then the ending is complete nonsense and gibberish. Like,
I was okay with the ending, but I largely feel like that's my number one big takeaway from The Conjuring 2 is that, I mean, if you liked the first one, which you did, and I did as well.
Yeah.
This is that again. It's very much the same thing. And there are merits to what James Wan is doing in these movies. Like, I do like that kind of almost serious films, you know? Like, he's really trying and he's really taking it seriously. Like, these aren't cheap throwaway horror movies. Like, he takes the time to do, like, character work and stuff. And he, like, really lets in both of the movies, like, breathe. Like, there was a part where I thought I went from being, like, just fine to being, all right, this has some merit to it. It's like when they first go and meet this family, and she's outside talking to the little girl who's being haunted on a swing, and the little girl is telling her about how the kids are in school. Right. Meanwhile, Patrick Wilson, the husband, is inside talking to the mom about what happened to their dad and whatnot. I was like, oh, they're taking the time to like actually like make this a movie, you know?
Right, and do some, like, make the case interesting and do some investigative work instead of, like, you know, scary stuff.
But, I mean, I guess the problem for me is it is, I mean, I guess, you know, yeah, he's striking the same tone and everything as the first, but it really does just feel like more of the first, and here's some slightly different scares that we haven't. That's the other problem too, is he's gone down this haunted house well so many times.
Yeah,
like we have Insidious and all these and all before, you know.
Yeah,
because there's some effective imagery and stuff in here, but like I've seen it, dude. Like, I mean, the nun is cool looking, but other than that, nothing really scared me.
No, I mean, like there's a couple, like there's some cool sequences, and I thought the old man was it was pretty cool there, but I don't know. Like, it was just okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm higher on it than you, but I'm also still, like, I totally get where you're coming from in that, yeah, it just feels a lot of the same, and there's just another big problem, which I said I'd touch on, is for me, as I'm watching this, I am knowing in my mind that two people, the Warrens, they've been basically shown to be con artists, right? But this movie treats them as, it's like they're doing the Lord's work. They totally believe in it.
Right.
And, like, I guess if it were just pure fiction, I could handle it a little bit more. But to me, I'm thinking in my head. I'd still be calling bullshit in my head either way, probably. But I don't know. There's something about that to me where I'm like, an adult, instead of just enjoying a ghost movie, you're like, I would rather see a documentary about how the Warrens were con artists. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, it's almost like, or even like if you don't want to play it up that they're con artists, that like maybe some of the stuff that they saw was con, like they were being conned to believe in it. Like, I really would have liked, yeah, like, you know, the entire time we've been seeing all this crazy stuff, and then there's, not to spoil too much here, but there's a scene where they capture on footage the person who's supposedly possessed doing the stuff that you would think, you know, was done by like the ghost or whatever. And you know, there's a story conceit for that, but I would have like preferred something along that lines where it's like, oh no, you were trying to fool us the entire fucking time and we're out. Like,
yeah. Like I said, I would rather watch a documentary just about them. Like, I don't care what stance the documentary takes. It's just right. Me here. I know that they're just like, how do we turn something that was real and probably more interesting in real life, and how do we take that and make it a horror movie?
Right.
And like I said, I appreciate that James Wan actually tries to make quality films, and I think he has. I think both one and two are quality movies. I think Insidious is quality, but I want to see him do something else next time, please. He's like so obsessed with these ghost movies. Like, this was like a passion project for him. And you could kind of tell, but it's just not mind blowing.
No, and I mean, it's a good enough, well structured horror film, as you said. Like, it's just, I thought the first one was really like it felt new, it felt interesting, like in a time, you know, when it came out, coming from, you know, years of us getting like the gore porn stuff.
Yeah.
And he did something different with, you know, both Insidious and then The Conjuring. And this just, it's The Conjuring 2 and Insidious 2 and Insidious 3, which I think he just produced, but like he was all part of it. And it just felt a little off. Speaking okay. of which, they're making a new Saw movie.
Yeah, I did hear that. Can't say that I'm super excited. I've seen them all, but
yeah, I generally like the series, but I think maybe they should have left it dead. We'll see.
Yeah, it was of a time and place. I think it's dated at this point almost. But
we'll see.
Final verdict for me, I'm going to go higher on it because, like I said, it is a quality movie. I just, like I said, don't expect it to be mind-blowing. I'm going to say it's a 4. But yeah, with the caveat that, like, I don't know, you kind of seen it before, so you kind of know what you're going to get going in.
I'm going to go 3. I you know, as I said, I think it's perfectly watchable. And it's decent enough, but it wasn't mind-blowing or anything, so.
Yeah. I saw another horror movie this week. Quote unquote right. horror movie. You have Netflix, right?
I do.
Have you happened to scroll and happen upon a movie called They Look Like People?
I have not seen it, but
I saw it on there the other day, and it had like a pretty high star rating, like over 4 stars, I want to say.
Okay.
I was like, okay. Anyway, like, just registered in my head. I didn't even add it to my list, whatever. Then I see our good friend Javi talk about it on Twitter and Facebook.
I caught his Facebook post and your comment.
Yeah. Okay, so you're not going to be surprised by what I have to say here. But he called it one of the best horror movies he's seen in a while. So I'm like, all right. It has a super high, like, pretty high rating on Netflix. And Javi's sitting there, like, you know, talking it up.
Right.
It's the best horror movie we've seen in a while. It's a movie about this guy living in some city And his friend kind of just, like an old friend he hasn't seen in a long time, kind of like shows up on his doorstep and starts spending a couple days there. And they're hanging out. And they go on like a double date and this and that. But it quickly becomes apparent to us, the viewer, that like his friend has some sort of mental illness at the very least.
Okay.
His friend like is hearing voices and he's getting phone calls from guys saying stuff like they look like people, but they're really coming to get you, and you know, stuff like that, like really sinister messages and voices that he's hearing. And so, and then yeah, then it becomes clear to his friend that he's having this problem and he's trying to help him with this problem. You know, it's like it's like a guy with schizophrenia, right? Mm-hmm. Or there really are these bad evil forces who they look like people, like they've taken over all your friends and they're coming to get you, right? And I guess that would be the horror movie element of it, but like that's all you're gonna get. Trust me on this. It reminds me very much, like after I thought about it for a little bit, of that movie Take Shelter with Michael Shannon.
Right.
In that movie, he believes that like there's a storm coming and he starts to go more and more nuts. And as you're watching it, you're like, okay, is like this guy prophetic or is he fucking, does he have schizophrenia or is he going mad? Is he going insane? Whatever, right?
Right.
This is the same thing, but this is like the super indie, like mumblecore version of that.
Oh, great.
Where it's just, yeah, it's like basically two like 30 something guys talking to each other for, you know, an hour and a half. That's like, dude, I'm not exaggerating. That's it. That is literally it. And some might say like Take Shelter did not have like a satisfying ending. But that has, I think, a way cooler ending than what happens here. Like, this just one just kind of shit seems like it's starting to go crazy, and then nothing happens in actuality, and then the credits start, and you realize nothing at all has happened in this movie, really. I mean, as like a very low budget indie movie, like indie movie with people who talk that has a horror element, I guess you can maybe say there's something to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it also reminded me of like a bunch of things. It reminded me of like a movie that the Duplass guys did called Creep, which is also on Netflix, which I also don't think is amazing, but some people do. Have you seen Creep?
No, yeah. Mostly because like you kind of were not high on it. And then I heard
some people love it though.
So
you heard what?
I heard some other people not high on it as well, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to waste my time on that one.
I mean, that one is like, I think that one is slightly more interesting because you're more uncomfortable throughout it. There's moments of that in this one, but yeah, it reminds me of a lot of movies that are better than it, and that like more things happen. Like I don't know how you can walk away with this. I could see people walking away from it, and like I could see it, like maybe why Javi would have enjoyed it. But I, even if I enjoyed it, it's one where I would be super cautious about recommending it to people because it, like, I don't know, like it's a tough sell. I did not like it though. So I'm going 2 stars. I thought it was a weak version of things I've seen before.
All right. I saw one other movie this week as well. I saw The Infiltrator, which is the Bryan Cranston movie. It talks about the U.S. Customs kind of working to uncover the money laundering scheme that Pablo Escobar was using. Bryan Cranston plays the undercover kind of agent with I think John Leguizamo's in it, and you know, there's a couple other people that are pretty good, but it's mostly Bryan Cranston all the way through, and it's decent. It takes a while to get going, and it's, you know, Cranston is really good in it. He you know, he plays off of everything. The setting is cool because, you know, it takes place in like the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, when they were going after Escobar. It's really long, though. It's over 2 hours long, and it's just, like, it's a cool story. And you kind of see the dangers of working undercover, where he starts to actually care about the people he's dealing with that are eventually going to end up going to jail. And, you know, that takes a mental toll on him and his partner that are working on it. But, yeah, it's an interesting story. You kind of know how it turns out, though, because it's a biography. So, yeah, I liked it. I'm going to go 3 stars on it. So,
I remember saw a trailer for it, and I was like, I'm kind of interested just because, one, Bryan Cranston, but two, because, you know, I watched Narcos, so this is like approaching the same story from a different angle, you know?
Right. Narcos approached it from Escobar, right? Like,
mostly, and two cops that were there,
okay,
representing the government. I think they were DEA agents that were trying to get them. Like, they're from America. But, you know, this is something else. This guy, this is a customs guy, right? Like,
yeah, and like he didn't take down Escobar himself, but he definitely took down some of his lieutenants and ones really close to him. So, and it was, you know, it's this crazy scheme that ends up with them capturing all of these people. Like, it's nuts. Like the way they turned it out. And it's really, really fascinating. So well worth a watch if you're interested in that. It is a little bit slow, but Cranston's performance is pretty great. Leguizamo plays like a great dirtbag, which he's fantastic at, but he's really good in this as a kind of like, you know, a second person to Cranston. And then there's a, I don't know who played his partner, but she's really good in it too. I think Amy Ryan, she plays like, she's this rookie customs agent, and she ends up having to, because he messes up and says that he has a fiance, they have to like
find play.
Yeah, so like she gets thrust into this, and it's really fascinating. Yeah, it's worth a watch if you're interested in the story. So,
cool. I will check that out at some point.
Yeah. And then I watched Westworld. More of that. I'm caught up on that. So.
Yeah, me as well. I'm still like, I don't know if I said this last week or whenever, but like, I'm still like waiting for it to find its footing a little bit. Like, I just feel like it's still juggling so many things at once, and like, yeah, it's about this thing and it's about that thing. What are we really getting at with any of these stories? I'm still like, we didn't even have the Man in Black the whole last episode, and I still have no idea what he's doing. I don't have any idea what the creator is doing.
Well, they did start to tie some of that stuff in at the end of the third episode, because they started talking about the maze. Which he was looking for all of episode 2, and maybe that was in the preview. I don't know. At some point, like, it looks like Dolores is going to start looking for the maze as well. So I don't know what any of that means.
What is the maze? Is it some higher level game that? That's the thing. It's just like I like the show, and I'm really interested in everything that it's doing, but it's hard for me to find my bearings at some point where I'm just like, yeah, this is cool and everything, but what are the people's objectives? I feel like they're just like keeping us a little bit too much in the dark on certain things for like these big reveals that are going to happen later, and hopefully it's worth it. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they still have right now, 7 episodes, so.
Yeah, but just right now I feel like I'm watching with a little bit of faith that this is going to turn into better, like, I don't know. It's good. Like, everything is interesting, but I just don't know where they're going with it. I mean, I obviously know that's...
Where's it going? Like, right now, they're still doing some world building, and...
Yeah.
I think we are starting to get more towards the story. You know, we know that Bernard is definitely playing with Dolores' code, And that
maybe not just her.
Well, it seems for and this is something that happened in the original movie, which, and I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but I heard people say that actually the original movie happened in this timeline. This is just 30 years later.
Ah, that's cool. That's cool. I never even thought of that.
So like there was like an accident early on, and then this is like they kind of perfected it at this point, because they do talk about an accident that happened early on, but they don't go into details with it. So there's speculation, I guess, that happened. But he in the original movie, it was kind of that the robots could somehow catch a virus, and that was what happened with them all going nuts. And in this one, the madam of the brothel, they're doing like surgery on her in the second episode. And they talk about how like she has like a MRSA, inside her, and like, you know, she hasn't been cleaned properly. So maybe there's like a way for the code to pass like as a virus between the robots, and those words that were whispered kind of are leaking that out. So it's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
But you don't know what the payoff is going to be yet. So.
Yeah. And yeah, it's not just that. I just don't know everyone's motivations. I don't feel like there is a real, I guess maybe Dolores is the protagonist.
Yeah. But there's so many. It's just like, you know, you got Anthony Hopkins, who isn't really the main protagonist, but you have Bernard, he's pretty important going in. Dolores is some sort of protagonist, but so is Teddy. And then you have the man in black, like, and then these two new guys that are like there on vacation. It's there's a lot going on.
And I guess there's shows that have not had like The Wire does not have a real central protagonist. I mean, I guess it works, but obviously it works, but.
Right.
I don't know.
We just got to see where it's going.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not sitting here like praising the show yet, but I like it. Like, I'm very interested in everything I'm seeing.
I want to watch the next episode. Yeah. Like, as long as like it has me wanting to watch the next episode, I'm kind of okay with.
Yeah. Just continue to be good and get better, hopefully.
Yeah. All right. You have anything on tap for next week?
Very little. Like for right now, I have at home still Keanu, which I think I've said for the third week now that I've not watched. And the other one I have is Neighbors 2 coming, which I've seen. We have both discussed on this show. Just my girlfriend hasn't seen it. So, like, yeah, I might – hopefully I'll think of something. I might see that movie Nerve, which we were both kind of interested in. It came out during the summer. We'll see.
Okay.
I don't know. We might have to come up with something special because it's looking a little dry, at least on my end.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. Like, the stuff that's coming out is not looking good. So, we'll see. I'll probably hit something up, but...
I will have more HBO shows to talk about next week. But, I don't know. We'll see. We'll watch something.
What are you going to watch?
Divorce and High Maintenance.
Okay. Been thinking about both of those, so I wasn't really sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week.
Movie dudes.